Landry. Every Thursday, LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his information. Chris, is there anything to add from our Monday Ed Orgeron conversation? Anything new to add?
No. I think we covered it. Probably best to just forward the link to what we did, because yes, everything on why it happened, how it played out, kind of where Scott is and how he's going to approach it. Scott's going to keep it very close to the vest. You know, he and Stephanie, who's a right-hand girl from the head from Washington and A&M, are going to organize it. And President Tate is certainly going to be kept apprised of it. I'm told that he's certainly very, very interested in the hire, but is going to let Scott do his job. So that's kind of where we are. And, I would just reiterate what I said, that he's got an A list, he's got a B list, and a lot of what is done often, and I would encourage folks to really, I did a podcast yesterday taking you behind the curtain in the coaching search, Landry Football Podcast. You can find it free on LandryFootball.com, and it goes through why a lot of things are done and how it's a lot different than people think it is. And one of the things is how certain names are floated out for a reason and why they're done. So I just think people, while everyone will throw out ideas and names, sometimes it's not the top names that they're throwing out. It's some others that might be to see where the public perception is, not to determine who they're going to take, but how they're going to have to deal with the public backlash if it's this guy or that guy, and how they're going to have to sell it. Because every administration then goes on the sell of why that whoever it is that they feel is the best, who they hire, why they feel it's the best. And so I think that's a good lesson. But, yeah, there's nothing going to be new until there'll just be a lot of speculation of why this guy would be a fit, why that guy would not be a fit, so on and so forth.
Chris, your best estimate on what Florida is thinking right now, and again, I don't think Dan Mullen's on a hot seat where he's going to be fired or anything. I think we're down the road on that. But reality setting in that they're not assembling the personnel they need to overall assemble over in Gainesville, which ought to be elite. Where do you think their process is, Scott Strickland, et cetera, watching this?
Well, I think they have to have a heart-to-heart about where the program is going under Dan and what Dan's plans are to fix it. And the biggest problem that I see is just Dan's view that he's got all the answers probably in his eyes, and so I'm wondering if this stretch here this year, last year and the end of last year and this year right now, is somewhat of a humbling enough experience to maybe look at things that before he would dismiss because he's got that all figured out. You know, the one thing in coaching I always tell coaching friends is nobody has it figured out. None of us that have done this for 40 years, you don't ever have it figured out. No one has all the answers. You get answers and you learn answers every day. The game changes, so you have to change. So just as soon as you got all the answers, they change the questions on you. So you got to constantly evolve and learn, and he's going to have to be willing to do that. Now, what I think is going to happen specifically is it's going to be you're going to have to, make a change of defensive coordinator, and you're going to have to have some philosophical approaches, maybe even some other staff changes, so where the recruiting can be at a different level, because the results are not what they are. And your unwillingness to do that is going to lead to a different type of conversation a year or so from now, depending on how that plays out. And, I think we all know what that's about. As I mentioned, I think it was last week or recently with you, with Dan, is is Dan the type? It's a rhetorical question, right? But is Dan the type that is going to seize that opportunity to fix it, or is he going to seize the opportunity to just try to go somewhere else? May not be somewhere as good as Florida. It may be another opportunity. He will at least try to sell that somebody else is interested to kind of shine the image that's been tarnished a little bit. But would he be willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to change, and I'm good. I don't think so, because I don't think you're foolish enough to leave the money on the table to go somewhere less. But, you know, egos can be a real weird thing. So I guess what's happening to me is, and with Dan, to me, is he has to be humbled enough to realize that one of two things are going to happen. You're going to have to change and fix this, and it better work, or you're going to be in trouble down the road. And the thought of, my God, I could be fired. Even I, you know, could be fired. Or, you know, if your ego is so big that you're willing to walk away from money to go do something else, or convince somebody, you know, that those are the decisions that he has to make. And I say that's a decision that everybody has to make. But Dan has got a streak in him that I just almost get the feeling that if there wouldn't be so much pressure to say, change the quarterback, he probably would have made it already. Meaning, like, he just doesn't want to give in to what, you know, because that he was wrong, or, you know, some of that, I think, is in Dan that just not healthy as a coach personally. And I think he's a really, really good coach, but I also think he has some qualities that prevent him from being a great one.
Tom in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Ask Chris about Mike Gundy, and the question is, do you think LSU would be interested in him?
I think there's a big list that, you know, he would be a person of interest on a lot of people. Would he be on the A-list? No, but he would certainly be on A-list. The issue with Mike is he's always really used it for leverage to get more money and a little bit more of what he wants inside the operations. He wasn't always with you know, T. Boone and the late T. Boone Pickens wasn't always, you know, quite on the same page on maybe how they should do things. Now, that's another case of a guy that recruits a certain way, but at Oklahoma State you can do that. That's kind of like,
yeah,
that's like a Dan Mullen type job if you want it. And so do you take a does he want to leave? Don't think so. I think he's comfortable in that environment, probably more than he has been in previous years. And then if you go there, are you getting a version of a Dan Mullen that, look, yeah, everybody says, again, like you say, right, you can't help but not recruit great at Florida. Well, they recruit good at Florida. You know, they're not recruiting at the elite level. So do you want that at a place like LSU? Do you want it doesn't matter. Coaches there, you know, yeah, anybody. Players just going to walk in and just magically be the right 25 every year. Doesn't work that way. And so are you getting a same version of a Mike Gundy, a same version of a Dan Mullen at an LSU? That's, you know, that's the thing. That's the lesson to learn, though, about, you know, when you're at, say, a Mississippi State or an Oklahoma, whatever. Yeah, boy, he'd be great, because that's what everybody said. Boy, he'd be great if he went to where you can get better players. Well, not always, because they don't maybe always recruit the elite players, even if they're at an elite school, and they may not be able to adjust to that style as much. So it is not as simple as people like to make it out to be. It's one of the things I got into the podcast yesterday about.
Got about minute and a half, 2 minutes before the break. Lake Norman Buckeye asked Chris, would the Patriots be interested in Ryan Day when that job opens up?
Well, Ryan Day, that's kind of, you know, Ryan's maybe long-term goal of,
right,
you know, at the right time, whatever. He's from Northeast, and that's what the answer to that is, just like with Nick Saban, don't know when Bill's going to retire, and that's not going to be like one of those things that people are going to speculate about Saban. No one's going to speculate about, well, maybe they begin to speculate about Bill. That is, right now, let's say Bill does it, you know, because that's all we can say. I can't say what's going to happen 5 years from now. But happen right now, no. I would go to Josh McDaniels right now. But if Josh moves on and, you know, Bill leaves, I think it's probably going to be that somebody that Bill anoints, because that's the type of relationship that Mr. Kraft has. But what if there's not that right type of guy? I could see it at some point, but that's – I can't – there's no way I can say, yeah, boy, in 4 years, that's what's going to happen. It's so much going to happen that we just don't know. But he's somebody that is could be interested in the right NFL job, and that might be it. But there might be some others in the Northeast. But he grew up a Patriots fan, so.
Spencer Rattler, I'll sneak this one in there. Caleb Williams looked good in his debut as the starter. What's Rattler's draft attractiveness?
Well, he needs more time to not just develop his skills. He's got great skills. I think there's a lot of things to unravel there with is there coachability issues? Is there attentiveness to details? I think there's a lot. The intangible part of evaluating quarterbacks are the most complex and are the most important, because those are the things that you can't see. You just see it in their play. He's got great physical skills. That hasn't eroded, but the play and the decision-making has to be unearthed. And I think he's going to need to go somewhere and play, and then we'll revisit that at a later date.
More Chris Landry on this Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase where you would expect coming down I-40 right now through Mount Juliet. All that heavy traffic flow continues in from Rutherford County on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. Still finishing up a minor wreck. 24 westbound between Bell Road and Haywood Lane. Just heavy traffic where you would expect down Vietnam Vets. And also I-40 east coming in through Kingston Springs. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Log on today, GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is not the only choice when it comes to buying, selling, or trading your vehicle, but it is the best choice. Located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over three decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget, and their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are in the right hands. If you're feeling rugged, check out their brand new Titans, or you might be feeling sporty and want to check out the all-new Maximus. And don't forget about their award-winning parts, service, and body shop. They have everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at nissanofrivergate.com, where they are open 24/7 or in person at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Or if you want to give them a call, it's easy at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
If you're tired of the same old company holiday party or would like to reward your team with a fun night out, then Strike and Spare Family Fun Center is the place to be. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center specializes in group events, no matter how big or small. So contact the locations in Tusculum, Donelson, Hermitage, Murfreesboro, or Hendersonville to reserve your event. Plus, Hendersonville and Murfreesboro offers bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. Visit them online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center, where fun is bowling.
If you have roofing, siding, or gutter needs, A&R Roofing is your one-stop solution. A&R Roofing combines the small-town values you trust with the big-league quality required to get the job done right. If you have an old roof that needs replacing or one that has storm damage, A&R Roofing can provide you with a free inspection. They specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofing, and custom copper roofing. A&R Roofing can also take care of your siding needs, whether it's vinyl siding, hardy board, or board and batten. Call Bob at A&R Roofing, 615-389-1916.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his information, all his shows, all his content, both college and pro. West Coast Sooner out in Los Angeles, Chris, wants to know if you had to pick four teams right now for the college football playoffs, who would they be?
Well, let me tell you how I do it, West Coast Sooner. I look at who are the four best teams on film that I see. Okay, and that's Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. Those are the four best teams, not the most talented. Now, does Cincinnati deserve to be in over Ohio State, who's lost, and Alabama, who's lost? Yeah, you certainly could make that claim, but I don't think Cincinnati is this good. Now, I go by, okay, you pick the four best teams. You ask me to, you know, people would ask me, as you are, the four best teams. That's how I see the four best teams on film, and I think that that doesn't mean that I'm saying that Cincinnati couldn't have beaten an Oregon or couldn't have beaten an A&M when Ohio State and Alabama lost. But if I'm looking at it, who's the best, that's kind of how I see it. But that's different than who would you select. And right now, but, you know, I know that's the question right now. It doesn't matter right now. That kind of plays its way out. So I think that the long-range view of it, let's just make some assumptions that Ohio State, Alabama, and Oklahoma run the table. Then, you know, I think that you'll have a more substantive case to make on a resume that, okay, one-loss teams, Ohio State, Alabama, better resume and a better team than Cincinnati. You know, right now, look, Cincinnati's good. I'd like to see them get a chance, but, you know, like them seeing and get a chance, and like to see them play a really good team is different than saying they're the four best teams, in my view.
Jeff Chu, Bill, ask Chris, how can an organization in the NFL like the Steelers be relevant and or at times dominant for so long? In the last 32 seasons, he says, they've only had four losing seasons. Is it ownership? What is it, Chris?
Yeah, it's ownership. It's stability. They've also had – let me just take that back. Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, Chuck Noll. I mean, think about some of your older audiences. I mean, that – we don't call them old, but, I mean, watching football since the 60s,
right.
Late 60s. And if you've watched the Steelers, you've watched three coaches. I mean, you see three coaches – with the Detroit Lions in a six-year period. Think about that. Or some organ. I mean, think about that. Jim Haslam went through them like, you know, shirts. I mean, you have, that's it. Now, you got to hire well, and you got to You got to know what you're doing, and they've got from Mr. Rooney, the Leighton to his sons, they get it. They don't go for splash. They go for substance, and they know how to evaluate, and they have a culture and a structure, and they find people that fit to that, and they stay to that. And then when people, because I'm going to tell you, people wanted Bill Cowher fired years ago. Now he's the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame. So, and people want Mike Tomlin. They don't react to that stuff. They, when it's time, it's time. But they are very, very patient with it. So it's the ownership and the organizational structure. But you can get out of that. The Giants, for stretches, have been that way. But you go to the old days, and then now it's not been as consistent. The Steelers are the model on that.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Coach Marshall, ask Chris the pluses and the minuses of a prevent defense.
Well, the pluses, obviously, is you prevent the big play from beating you. You play a prevent when you have time on your side, your time advantages, let them complete underneath, and we just can't allow the big play, the quick strike, to beat us over the top. That kills us immediately. We can, you know, work the prevent, the good prevents, prevent deeper than the deepest. It's deeper than the deepest, wider than the widest. Nobody gets behind you, and you work from the boundary in so that you can use clock. That's the strength. The weakness of it is if you play it incorrectly and you have way too many gaps underneath and you just completely can't get a pass rush, you've got to get good pass rush. I mean, you at least got to force some pressure in three-man pressure. And you've got to be able to play underneath. A lot of times what people play poorly is underneath they don't play the boundary in well enough. And so people can work down the field quickly in today's tempo game and get to the out of bounds and then get into the quick strike range. But the prevent is used in the right situation. It's not just end of the game, end of the half, but how much time is left and what is your lead? To me, you know, you play that when you're protecting at least a full one possession. But if it's a field goal, I think you got to play it a little bit differently because you don't want to give up the play over the top and lose the game, but you are trying to prevent a tie too. But that's the strength of it. A lot of times it's not what you play, but how you play it, how you execute it. That falls on coaching too. But the prevent is in there because it's to prevent the quick play. And today, more than ever, you got to see it. And you see some versions of it that are played not in the prevent, but it's one of the problems that the Chiefs are having now. People are not playing prevent, but they're saying, we're not going to allow the quick strike, and we're going to make you run. And if you can't run out of it, you don't have the patience to run out of it, you start turning the football over, and you got a problem. So those are the fundamental parts of it.
Hoptown boy up in Kentucky, ask Chris what his thoughts are about Kentucky against Georgia and also Will Levis, the quarterback, how he played against that Georgia defense.
I don't think we should look at Kentucky in any way other than very positive to what they've done with the program and how good this team is. They went up against a buzzsaw that it happened pretty much exactly like I thought it would happen. I think this team is still very good defensively. I think offensively they do things a little bit better, and I'd like to see going forward the continued development of what they're trying to get done offensively with a lot less turnovers than they had in the early part of the season. I think it's a part of it is because they're working in some new stuff, but getting more playmakers on the outside like a Wandale Robinson. You know, but you got to have multiple guys. You've got to make people pay if you overplay a guy like that. But I think they've got a really good coordinator in Liam Cohen. I think Mark does a phenomenal job. I think he's got great leadership and organizational skills. I think he's built a tough culture. I think he understands how to evaluate the right type of players in recruiting. And I think the program's really good. They've got a chance to go 11-1 and go to perhaps the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans.
Wow.
How good is that at Kentucky? Let me tell you, that's the equivalent of winning a national championship at Georgia or Alabama or something. I mean, that's getting it done at Kentucky. 10-2, 9-3 would have been a great season for Kentucky this year. But, you know, the fact that the East is pretty weak, 10-2 is great. 11-1 would be incredible. I mean, it's really incredible. And it's a byproduct of some teams really being bad. And but, you know, that's a great job. That's a great job. And I know it means Florida's not quite doing some things well in that game, but that's getting it done at Kentucky.
Chris Landry with us. Alan in Tampa, ask Chris what he sees for Mike Norvell at Florida State in the future.
I hope that they can finish strong and build off of a foundation they put for this recruiting class, continue to build off of that. I think they're still very limited in personnel with pretty much anything that they try to do that's sustainable. But the positive that I really see is that this team has not quit. This is, from what I understand and can gather, there's no divisiveness in the program, in the locker room. I do think there's still maybe some guys that are not totally buying in, or at least that's some indication that they had. I would think that I would be rid of those guys to this point, and certainly by this year. I think there's positives. Can I tell you that it's going to flip around next year to where it's going to start taking off? I don't know that. But I know that it's in better position than it was in the previous regime. I just don't know if it's going to get it to where it's going to go. But look at it this way for the Florida State program overall. If you can begin to build a better foundation and you can begin to recruit better and you can begin to build a better culture, if Mike is not able to get it done, it becomes a better job than it was when they hired Mike. Because the peek behind the curtain for those interviewing for the job the last time was you go in with the idea that I'm going to Florida State. Wow, that's a great historical program. And then when you peek behind the curtain, you realize, oh, bleep, I don't want any part of this. So this is a better job now because of a lot of the, I think, things he's done. I don't know whether he can get it done to where they want it, but, you know, they're in pretty good shape, at least turning things around, at least from a cultural standpoint.
Major moves in West Virginia. Ask Chris if Big 12 coaches will be poached once Texas and OU leave and the money per school in that league is less.
I mentioned on my Big 12 show, Big 12 Football and Beyond, again, catch that on LandryFootball.com. I went through how things may – it is an interesting question, and I do wonder. So I don't know if a Matt Campbell says, you know, this is the time. Timing's probably not right for Dave Aranda, but, you know, timing's everything, and timing of they're moving into a different Big 12, it depends on what job offers are there, maybe how long they've been there. I think all those things factor in, but it is something we're going to have to watch. I mean, obviously, Aranda, Campbell are the ones we'd have to watch in terms of their interest in moving up. The others, there's not quite the candidate that may want to move on. I don't know that Gary would consider leaving TCU at this stage of his life and his career, but it is different because we've never had a situation like this where you're in the Big 12, but you're in a different-looking Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma, and so the money's not as great. They'll still get good money, but is the money going to be different in what we can put into the program? Can I sustain this long-term? All those things are going to be important. So it's like a Dave Aranda, he's just been there in a very short period of time, too quick to leave. But yet, if he has to assess, yeah, Baylor's got a lot of money, but is it going to be a positive? Or are we going to say, all right, look, and meaning Baylor, we're going to take the resources we have and we're going to become the program in the league. Because without Texas and Oklahoma, what's the best program? Can we become the one that has the most opulent facilities? Can we become, quote-unquote, the big dog? Is that what we want to do? And how does that play out? That might be more appealing than leaving. Or you might get the answer that says, you know what, I'd be better off going to a place where it's really, really big. I think it's going to be interesting. The other thing is they're going to get bids and we're going to expand the playoffs. You know, it doesn't give them a better chance to win the national championship at a place like that, but it gives them a better chance to make the playoffs and be relevant. There's a lot of things that these guys are going to have to think about in terms of their future.
Chris, got about a minute. Kirkland says, Chris, what do you think Georgia is going to do at quarterback once JT Daniels is healthy?
I think they're going to gradually increase the reps for JT as the lat problem allows it to do. I think, well, I don't know what they're going to do, but what I would do, what I would have him ready and is sharp, and that's going to be a fine line for getting him enough work and not overworking it. I think you have to have him ready, and you have to play him enough. Because if you may not need to, if you need to be able to win a shootout type game, and I don't know that it's a strict shootout, but you need more offense. You need more explosiveness. You're down 17-3 or something. If you got to come back in a quicker fashion, you might need him. You don't need him right now as long as you're playing great defense, running the football. I don't know that in a general sense that Stetson Bennett is enough to win a national championship over a longer period, but, you know, he might be good enough for them to win this year. There's not, if you look at it, Oklahoma's got a great offense, and I think that Ohio State's got a young, improving quarterback. Alabama's got a good quarterback. But, you know, Georgia's got a better overall team. So I think the answer is you've got to get JT ready to go, but you can't we're overwork him to where he's not available at the back end of the season, because Stetson Bennett can get you there to the conference championship, but JT Daniels better be ready to go if they need him come conference tournament time and on.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your info.
LandryFootball.com is where you can get it all. All the breakdowns, everything is right there. So check it out. Take advantage of the football season sale. All the podcasts are free, so check those out.
Good stuff, Chris. See you next week.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll take the break here. Top of the hour, sports lawyer Dan Lust.